17-year-old girl who survived 8 days after her car crashed and tumbled 200 feet down a ravine may have been saved by her own dehydration because doctors say it prevented the expansion of a blood clot in her brain. But the real story is, how was she found after 8 days? Shaynor is the woman who found 17-year-old Laura Hatch 8 days after her car crashed into a thickly forested area outside of Seattle. She and her daughter Beth Ann searched and found Laura after Shay had a dream about where the girl may be. Shaynor is on the phone with us right now. Shay, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
Good. Thank you for appearing with us right now. Tell me a little bit first about the dream and then what you and your daughter Beth Ann did shortly thereafter.
Well, the dream was simply of an intersection. It wasn't like a sign or anything of with a name or anything like that. It's simply like an intersection when you go when you drive home, and just a very common intersection that you see and that you immediately recognize and know where it's located. So I've been to that intersection a number of times. We have a few friends that live. You have to turn there to get to their house. And I simply kept seeing this one particular place.
Did you see the crashed car in your dream?
No, not at all. Okay. Not at all. In fact, that Saturday, my daughter had gone to look. I did not go look. I stayed home. I have a 7-year-old and a 2-year-old, along with our 17-year-old. And I stayed home. My husband was working that day, and so I stayed home with the other two children. And that afternoon, our daughter came home, and she was just distraught. You know, they had been looking. They'd each been given an area to look for with their group, and it was kind of a search and retrieve kind of kind of thing.
Shay, what was it about the dream that made you really feel there's something going on here?
Well, you know, that's just it. There is nothing. It was just, I kept seeing this one intersection, and then I would roll over, and I'd go back to sleep, and I would see it again. And it was just the same thing 3 or 4 times. And I got up, and I got something to drink, and I thought, this is kind of crazy. Why do I keep having this dream? But I thought it was simply because I had talked to my daughter about it, and, you know, how upset she was, and the fact that I had posted on a website that I do, requesting for my friends to pray for this girl. Not to pray that I find her or anything like that, just to pray for the family to have some, to have some relief and to have some closure to what had gone on.
When you and your daughter went out to look for her, were there other people with you, or was it just the two of you?
It was just the two of us. I actually had slept in. When I say slept in, it was probably about 8:50. My daughter had been up for a little bit. And I called her and I said, there were two dreams, first of all, because I think that's quite important. The first dream was simply the intersection 3 or 4 times. Went back to sleep, got something to drink, went back to sleep. The second dream was actually this little rabbit, like that rabbit in Alice in Wonderland with the little clock saying, keep going, keep going, keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't share that with anybody because when I hollered for my daughter and I said, Beth Ann, I said, I know this sounds crazy. I said, but would you ride with me? I said, I just had this really strange dream about this intersection, and I explained to her it was the intersection on the way to another one of their friends' houses, and would she ride out there with me? Now, we had been in Cabo, Mexico for the past 10 days. We had absolutely no idea whatsoever, no clue whatsoever, where the party had been or where anything, you know.
Right. So, I mean, did you even know what had happened until you came back?
No. We had no idea what had happened.
Okay, and when you and Beth Ann finally found her, I mean, my gosh, what did it feel like? I mean, you see the car 200 feet down a ravine. What was going through your head then?
Well, it wasn't even like that. It was just, at first what we see is just... it was just something glistening, and I climb over and I start to look, and I climb down, and Beth Ann says, "Keep going, keep going." And I thought, I am not going down there any far because it's really, really far.
Yeah.
And it ends up being a plastic bag when I get over there. It wasn't until I got down there that I turned around and I could see at a different angle where the tops of the trees were.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there was it where I was able to see,
The car.
The car, correct. So it was kind of a zigzag angle. I don't know how to really explain it.
Right.
But from the road, you couldn't see anything.
And Laura, was she barely conscious when you got to her?
I just stood at the front of the car at the beginning because I was really stressed out and just pretty much, couldn't believe it. And
okay.
One of the gentlemen from the road came down. And when he did, he helped me get the license tag, and he hit the top of the car, and she woke up because he had just said, there's a body in the back seat, I couldn't get any closer emotionally.
No, you thought she was gone.
I did, and I wasn't prepared to see that. And she started talking, and I mean talking like...
Well, you must have felt, like, euphoric when you heard that.
Well, I was just so confused. I felt so lost, and so I called for my daughter to come down, and Beth Ann started talking to her. And when I first said, Laura, I said, I'm Beth Ann's mother, and she's like, Beth Ann's mother? Like, why are you here, And so Beth Ann had said, when Beth Ann got down there, she started talking to her. She said, I think I'm almost late for curfew. And that was kind of, interesting. And,
how quickly were you able to get some emergency medical service there to help get her out?
Oh, it was within 5 minutes that they were there.
Oh, that's just a miracle.
When that happened, we called her mom and dad, and within the time that we called her mom and dad, the sirens, you could hear them, and they were there.
And I hear she's doing well. She's a pistol, according to some hospital employees, huh?
She is just, I had never met her, of course, and she's just funky. I asked her when she was laying there, I said, do you know your mom and dad's home telephone number? And she said, by heart. And I said, that would be really good at this moment.
Well, Shay, I got to tell you, great effort, I'm sure. And I'm telling you, when you have a chance to talk with Laura again at length, and I'm sure you will, you might want to ask her if she had a dream about you or someone like that. Because I'm telling you, these things work in strange ways.